God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and ruin their gone.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet the Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awaken to the light of truth or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aru! Greetings from somewhere east of the sun and west of the moon. We're here in the saucer pod this evening, or whatever time you might be listening to this, above the pending fall of the mysterious year of prophecy, in which we haven't seen a great deal of all the things we're expected to see, but, as I've noted elsewhere, have seen precious little of yet, if I may repeat myself. Anyway, I apologize for not having it together for the radio show last week. Someone was visiting, and it drove the show right out of my mind. I'd intended to read the contemporary Smoking Mirrors with the Aru inserted, but then it felt like I would be mailing it in, so you know how those things sometimes go, and then they're gone. It's been a strange time over recent days. We certainly have been getting a lot of that kind of thing, even if we haven't been getting the expected 9/11 fallout. Today I woke up in a very fey mood, a very positive state of mind, and no idea of why that happened, and that's been continuing for a couple of days. That's the one thing that hallmarks my life. I never really know what's going on or what it means. In another sense, I do have an idea of what's going on and what it means sometimes, or do I? The world is in a state of mind whose industry is deception. It is an operating heartbreak hotel that is something like a roach motel. Often you check in, but you don't check back out. It's not always a bad place to be, and you don't get beyond it without having come into it. These days, it's not such a pleasant place because of the way things are in these times and the people at the top of the pyramid. People have been selling their rear ends and their souls for a place at the banquet table, and those with character and integrity are left out in the cold. It's a closed shop from bottom to top, and you just try to do your best without seeing a whole lot of daylight career-wise. It is possible to see light in other areas and other ways. Yes, these are days of trial and error, much trial and a great deal of error. The bad guys are really bad guys, and they're spreading darkness in all directions. The Franklin pedophile scandal, it wove its way all through and into the Reagan-Bush White House. Since we can take it for granted that it was not Reagan who was so engaged with underage boys, we can presume it was George Herbert Walker Bush who was so engaged. It's difficult on the mind to accept that people in positions of such power could be so depraved. Then we come to his son, George W. Bush, and the exceptional corruption he brought to the office of President of the United States. This includes the hundreds of visits by homosexual prostitute James Gannon to the White House in the hours of darkness, which, as far as the White House is concerned, could be any hour of the day. The indicators are that it was George W. Bush that he was visiting. In times of the degeneration of a culture, in times of decline and fall, depravity becomes the keynote speaker. People give in to all sorts of urgings from the dark side. Where do these urgings come from? That's a good question. Well, usually, and I guess definitely is the case, an avatar comes at the beginning of each new age. This avatar comes with a broom, and he sweeps out all of the inner planes where dark entities have been nesting for a very long time. This agitates them long before the Avatar gets to where they are, and they go into a kind of evil hyperdrive to accomplish as much diabolical effect as possible. Toward the end, they are driven out onto the physical plane, and they take up residence in the physical vehicles of those disposed toward whatever it is they get up to. Of course, the political and religious leaders are well represented for possession because of what they do and how they do, and it affects the lives of those they come into contact with. Nothing that happens is all that surprising when you think about what's going on behind the scenes. And you can figure out what is going on behind the scenes by looking carefully at what is happening on the stage. Sometimes it seems that whatever is running this show wants to grind the last ounce of resistance out of us, grind us down until we're absolutely defenseless. I've studied what happens to be happening around us, and there's no getting around coming to certain understandings about the pressures that are acting on us collectively. It's clear that a very large portion of humanity is oriented toward materialism. It makes sense that the cosmos would want to wake them up out of this material dream and introduce a new and vital spirituality into their lives. At the same time, these pressures are coming down on everyone. Or are they? It could be that I am only seeing things from the inside of my own little envelope, and that there are millions of happy campers dancing around in other locations. I assume part of that is true in some places, and that it's possible that some of that happiness is real and some of it is delusional. I don't know if any of it is my business. I got into the business of making it my business some time ago, and it's gone through different permutations of expression, and it has brought me different kinds of problems, and those problems have gone away over the last couple of decades, but the sensation of the times and the increasing disorder and uncertainty of the times gets more oppressive. I'd like to see people get more meaning out of life, to be more motivated and more honest. I find older people possess a deeper sense of values and accept responsibility for what they do, whereas the younger generations just seem lost and don't place much value on qualities like honesty and honor, as well as all the other virtues that give credentials to a life. Maybe there are all sorts of younger people hiding away beneath doors and windows and walls that I don't know about, who are up to all kinds of righteous thoughts and behavior, and the young people I see on the streets are not representative of the totality. It absolutely amazes me that the newer generations, with access to so much information about so many things, are simply captivated by superficial interests. The behavior of the governments and the psychopathic fiends that manipulate it are both easy to see. It's easy to see who is promoting the wars, who is manipulating the financial system, ruining the lives of the middle class, and maintaining the poor in crime-ridden ghettos where they own the neighborhoods and dwelling places in which their desperate lives take place. You can discover all of these things online if you have the curiosity and want to know what is going on, but so many people just detour around to all these informations, and they immerse themselves in banal activities that seem designed to distract them from thinking. Sure, there are many of them who have associated themselves with the Occupy movement, and a lot more who went into the military because they saw no way to finance their education otherwise. A lot of people who went into the military were just deceived by slogans and the ideologies of their parents, who impressed on them a love of their country, right or wrong. It wasn't long after I left home that I began to see how the world worked, and the more I saw, the less I wanted to do with it. I wound up living in a teepee deep in the woods and coming to town on different days to work in my bookstore, at the restaurant that I ran with my friends. I thought I had found a way to get by all that crap, you know, that was going on around me. But even though I held out for a long time, the crap finally got to me, and I got lost for a period of time until my world eventually crashed at my feet and I came back to my senses. I stayed like that for a while, upward bound and with a whole new sense of what was happening. And then my world sort of crashed around me again for a while, and then I got it back together again. It went bouncing off the walls of different extremes with a certain consistency toward the middle, and the continuation of my various arts going nowhere fast, but being honed and performed all the same, as if at some point some door would open and I would find myself finally able to do the things I wanted to do. But things just kept on keeping on until I found myself in a foreign country living among total strangers with whom I had nothing in common, and that has gone on until this day. Now I have a large community of people in countries around the world that I communicate with, and I don't actually know any of them except in a virtual way. I spend my days in conversation with some entity that guides me and tells me all sorts of things. One day follows the next, and I see sweeping changes coming onto the horizon for me. I see myself immigrating from this location to some other port of call. I don't know which port that's going to be or what living there entails, but it'll be different for sure. Most people spend their lives in pursuit of material stations. Sometimes they just want to stay above the water and be left alone, and sometimes they want to get as deep into all of it as they can. Now, I never cared that much about any of these things. I wanted to find God, and I wanted to be in the presence of God, but that hasn't been easy because the world wants to be in my presence, and it wants my attention. The job of the world is to take your attention off of God and to deceive you about what God is and how you're supposed to manage that relationship. The world likes to put God in a box and you in a box as well. The world likes to confuse and entice you and then leave you empty and longing, but never longing for the right things. You try to follow God and the world steps between you and God. After a while, you think that the world is God because it has been between you and God for so long. So the world steps off down a side street and you follow the world, and that continues until you find yourself trapped in something or other. Either you stay there until death frees you, or you manage to free yourself with some help from your friends. It's not easy. I can tell you that. It can go on for your whole life and be one constant struggle. In these times, that is more likely than in some other time frame. I can't assess the cost at this moment because the movie isn't over yet. As you know, all's well that ends well, unless it doesn't end well, or it ends even better. Many times I despaired of a happy ending. I could not fathom why I was put through the things I was put through. Sometimes I still can't. It seems like it has to do with seeing how far I can be pushed and what I will become in the process. I never have much to say about any of it. Sometimes when walking into trouble, I knew I was walking into trouble, but I knew that there was no way around it. I was supposed to walk into trouble. When I was arrested on Maui and facing a life in prison sentence, before it happened, just as the arrest was about to take place, I was walking to the bathroom in the mall, where I was supposed to meet the undercover cops masquerading as mafia, not in the bathroom, but in the parking lot. But I went to the bathroom, and the walls of the hallway were painted in institutional green, and a voice came into my head and said, "You're going to be seeing these walls for a while, but don't worry about it. Everything will be okay." I knew in that moment that I'd been set up, but I went through it anyway. I was told by the undercover police, that they were going to kill someone I knew unless I provided them with certain drugs. And the kicker is that the guy I did this for was in on it. What followed was one of the most entertaining comic dramas ever seen on the legal stage in that state. And I was acquitted of all charges. It was all for the purpose of demonstration, as my whole life has been, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the beautiful. I haven't got a clue as to what it all means. And these days, I find myself communicating with people all over the world and also having very good and very bad experiences that happen beyond my control. I don't know what to make of it. I'm telling you these things because I suspect we're all going through things that we find it difficult to understand. We're all living in these times, and there are no times as bewildering as these times. We need to keep a philosophical perspective. We need to have the kind of faith that moves mountains, even if we are not given the wherewithal to move those mountains. We need to have the qualities that are possessed by the deity so that we can have the qualities of the divine, which makes it possible to fraternize directly with the divine and the friends of the divine. If we have to suffer like Prometheus to gain these things, it will be worth it in the end, where every tear is dried and every hurt is healed. What we are after is something so precious and indescribable that it cannot even be described. It can only be hinted at, which is why the alchemical texts read the way they do, and why you read phrases like, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. My job is to talk about these things and to bring them up in every context somehow, no matter what it looks like I'm talking about. I'm supposed to do this while depending on the divine to provide my every need, because I have no visible means of support, and I have to exist with no visible means of support, because that is how it works. Otherwise, I'm working for myself and just mouthing the phrases. And I'm not going to go into that any further now, because, well, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and it's time for me to go. I hope you gained something from this with my jumping from one thing to another, and hoping I leave you on a positive note when sometimes it doesn't appear to be positive. The country I move through, well, who knows? May God enter your life in a very big and real way. And may you find yourself in a new and beautiful country where nothing is like it is here, even if you are still here. That said, I'll see you next week if there is one. Om Mani Padme Hare Krishna. Greetings, Lord Jesus Christ. Allah Akbar. Om Namah Ganesha. Aloha and Aru.
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.